I am Trish Rohrbeck. I'm an active duty officer in the United States Air Force. And I have joined the military about 12 years ago as a public health officer, and I'm currently assigned to the Armed Forces Health Surveillance Center, which is the DoD organization that monitors all health and disease outcomes for all military services. And I'm also the chief of preventive medicine residency training for DoD. And my research interests are in mental health, specifically biomarkers for PTSD, as well as women's health issues such as pelvic inflammatory disease, on which I am presenting today. Okay, alrighty. So my topic today is risk analysis of pelvic inflammatory disease, or PID, among U.S. military recruits 2002 to 2012. And this is the mandatory disclosure slide, and I have no relationships to disclose. This is a brief overview of what I'm going to talk about today. And as a brief background, PID is a female-specific inflammatory process caused by bacteria that affects the reproductive organs. The main etiologic agent that is often diagnosed along with PID is chlamydia. So the path of infection, meaning from chlamydia to developing PID, oftentimes takes around a year. And symptoms for PID can range from mild to severe. And most often, they're truly mild or even asymptomatic. So oftentimes, women don't really know that they have PID. And as a result, about 85% of women with PID delay seeking care, and by delay seeking care and getting no treatment, they're also at risk for long-term sequelae such as infertility. And infertility in particular has caused a lot of attention lately in the military. We just did a 10-year study looking at all females in the military, and the percent of fertility among women with acute PID went up from about 3% to 11% within a 10-year time period. So since chlamydia is the main etiologic agent, I wanted to look at chlamydia screening programs with the thought process that if we screen for chlamydia, then we might be able to prevent PID diagnoses. So looking at U.S. military screening programs, all services screen females 26 years of age, younger than 26 years of age, on an annual basis as part of their annual checkup. But looking at recruit chlamydia screening programs, not all services have a program, and some have only started within the last couple of years. So that means that some women could potentially enter the military without being screened, and they may be asymptomatic for chlamydia. And then as a result of not getting any treatment or any screening within 12 months, they may be at risk for developing PID or any other sequelae as a result of it. So when I looked at the literature, there really is no study out there that looks at long-term effect of chlamydia screening in regards to women's health issues such as PID. Most of the literature focuses on the effectiveness of identifying chlamydia cases and then providing treatment. So what I wanted to do is look at PID as a proxy to evaluate what the impact is of chlamydia screening, like within 12 months of actually having been screened. There was one study that was done by Broom that was published in 2008, and he just looked at only 4 years' worth of data from 2002 to 2005, and he only looked at the Army in comparison to the Navy, so he didn't really look at all the services. So what I wanted to do with my study is identify a PID diagnosis during medical encounters of former recruit trainees during their initial 12 months on active duty following completion of basic training. And my aims were to characterize this population by looking at some of the demographics and other characteristics, describe the PID incidence over time, and then stratify by age and by service. So my analysis was pretty much descriptive and retrospective in nature. I looked at all female service members that enlisted between January 1st, 2002 and 31 December 2011. They also had to complete their basic training period as well as stay in the military for at least 12 more months so I could follow them up and see whether or not they developed PID. I looked at all services, even though data for the Coast Guard prior to 2007 is incomplete, so I had to censor that data. I looked at active component only, and that has to do with the data we have available at the Armed Forces Health Surveillance Center. We do not have all medical data for reservists and Guard members, because if they're not on active duty, then they're out in the civilian world, and we don't have access to their medical information. I followed all individuals enrolled in that study for 12 months, and I used the Defense Medical Surveillance System, which is the data warehouse that we manage at my organization, the Armed Forces Health Surveillance Center. I looked at inpatient and outpatient ICD-9 diagnoses and counters. So this is just a brief overview of the database we have, the DMSS. It's a longitudinal database, and it collects every single medical encounter a service member has during their time in serving in the military. So we capture inpatient data, outpatient data, all their immunization data, any deployment information, any health risk assessments they have to complete and fill out, as well as casualty data. And I define PID case as the first PID diagnosis within the 12-month period. I used ICD-9 codes and case definitions from a previous study that we did where we looked at all females in the military, whereas I'm just looking at recruits. But I wanted to use the same case definition so I can compare it with the rest of the military population. So those are some of my results. I identified originally 223,642 female recruits that enlisted during the time period I was looking at. And then I had to make sure they all completed their training, and then I needed to make sure they all stayed on for at least 12 months so I can follow them up. So if you look at the bottom right box, I ended up with 161,501 females that I actually looked at. And this dropout rate is pretty normal. There's about a 30 to 50% dropout rate within about 6 months after they complete training, and that's just the way it is. Among those 161,000 females, the total incident of PID during that 10-year time period was 1,750, which is roughly about 1.1%, so it's a small number. And the incidence rate was 11.2 per 1,000 person years. And those are some of my demographic variables that I looked at. And the last variable down at the bottom is chlamydia diagnosis after basic training. And as you can see, individuals developed, even though they were screened, developed the time period that they finished basic training to onset of PID, they had another positive chlamydia encounter, which says that reinfection within that population was quite common. This figure is looking at PID incidents overall over time, and you can see even though that by 2006, pretty much all services except for the Army had a screening program in place, the rate of PID within the 12-month follow-up period really didn't decline much. The only reason why this overall trend line is going down is because of the last data point where there's that huge drop. But since I don't have current data, I don't really know if that's truly a downward trend or if that was just an anomaly. But overall, without that point, if you would average it, there really is not much of a decrease. Then this is the same data, just stratified by service, and you can see that the Army in yellow has pretty much the highest rates, except at the beginning and then sometime around 2009, where actually the Marine Corps had higher rates. And the Army does not have a screening program for chlamydia, whereas the Marine Corps actually had initiated a program in 1997. Yet still, they at two instances had higher rates. And then this is looking overall at PID, looking at service, and then stratified by age group. So the most youngest individuals, 17 to 20 year olds, had the highest rates. But if you look at the 21 to 24 year olds, their rates aren't really that much lower. So it's really the age group 25 and lower that is at the highest risk. So in summary, the overall incidence rate was 11.2 per 1,000 person years. The overall trend was somewhat stable during that surveillance period, except for recruits that were assessed in 2011. And the rates were highest in the 17 to 20 year olds, Black non-Hispanics, servicewomen in the Army, women not screened for chlamydia during basic training, married and other, which includes divorced and widows, and service women who had a chlamydia infection after basic training but before their PID diagnosis. So as I mentioned earlier, Army service women are not routinely screened for chlamydia until they arrive at the first duty station or at their 12-year follow-up. And they also had the highest rates. So there may be some benefit implementing a chlamydia screening program to maybe reduce the rate of PID. Yet at the same time, and we saw that in the second figure, the PID rate in the Army was only 25% higher than in the Marines, who have a training program, who have a screening program since 1997. So maybe screening alone isn't what's driving those numbers. There may also be a high-risk behavior that persists after screening education of their initial screening when they enter military service. Also, females who have a history, and oftentimes when they join the military, we really don't know what their medical history is. If they had a history of PID, they may be more susceptible to get reinfected. And then another variable I found interesting was that married and others, service women, were at higher risk than single women. That kind of surprised me. I would have actually seen the other way around. But when I looked at the Bloom article, they had the same trend, but couldn't really explain it. And that may be related to something that has nothing to do with chlamydia or PID, but that's a variable I can maybe look a little bit closer at. So some issues to consider. There are variations in racial and ethnic composition among services that could potentially account for the differences in PID rates. When Bloom et al. Looked at that same issue, he adjusted for race and ethnicity, and it didn't have any impact on the rates. So, and chlamydia screening was implemented prior to the official start date in the Air Force and in the Coast Guard. They do that as a trial period just to make sure it works, which makes sense, but there is no documentation on when they actually started, so I couldn't capture that in my data. So I may have underestimated the rate of PID if in case they were screened earlier and potentially were able to receive treatment earlier. Then also PID is very difficult to diagnose. Oftentimes, especially with very mild symptoms, it's not properly being captured by a provider, so there may be more PID cases out there in that population than were actually diagnosed. Some of the strengths is it was a large population size. I looked at all the females possible during that time period. It's a long surveillance period. I used a 10-year surveillance period, and I was able to follow up each individual case for 12 months and capture all the medical encounter data. So in conclusion, by 2006, all the services except for the Army had implemented a chlamydia screening program, yet the rates really didn't show much of a decline and were actually pretty stable. With that being said, looking at just ICD-9 codes of PID to determine the impact of a screening program may or may not be the best way to go about that, even though it gives us some insight. It might be important, too, since chlamydia infection is associated with high-risk behavior, to look at some of the behavioral health data in connection with the medical diagnosis to get further information about this phenomenon. And then also it might be important, too, to look at a longer time period rather than 12 months. That's really the first initial time period when they join the military, but then they're being screened annually, so maybe it's the annual screening and the annual education that eventually will have an impact on their behavior and maybe reduce the risk of PID, and that's something I'm working on right now. So those are my references, and any questions? Yes, ma'am. Of course, they don't say that officially. my guess is, I have seen the Army, when they recruit more than what's necessary, because they know they will wash out a lot of recruits. When I said at the beginning, 30 to 50% within the first 6 months, that's pretty normal. So if they would screen truly everybody and then lose that high amount, I would think it's probably a cost effectiveness issue that may be at stake here. I know they have changed that. I think originally I thought it was a urine test, but I think they no longer use that. I think, I don't know. Do you know what's traditionally being used?
I know that in the urine test.
Okay. I know when I was at Lackland, which is the Air Force's basic training base, I was there from 2005 to 2007. They were doing urine tests, but I think they have changed that, but I'm not sure. Sorry. Yes.
So, are there any instances where the people who drop out from the army are because of their training to be here? So how would that bias your sample, your final sample of that number that you have right at home?
I don't think so, because it's treatable. For them, testing positive for chlamydia is not a reason to discharge somebody. Most of the time, they're being discharged for disciplinary reasons or for mental health reasons. You have a lot of adjustment disorder cases, especially among, you know, such young individuals who join the military within the first 6 months. Or there are health conditions that weren't known to them. I can't think of something like a chronic illness. Could be, yes. And that's why I said, just looking at ICD-9 codes, I don't think really paints the big picture. It's one way of looking at it. But just looking at that, yeah, it didn't have the impact I thought it would have. I think with the emphasis on chlamydia screening, I think that's more the big ticket item, because again, you screen individuals, you identify hundreds, you can treat them immediately, there's an instant success. Whereas PID, you often miss cases and it really takes some time to develop. I don't think there's a lot of emphasis on PID. And I mentioned earlier that I used the same ICD-9 codes and case definitions, so I can compare it to the other study that looked at all females in the military, not just recruits, and they actually have the same trend, that over their 10-year period, I think the rate was 8.2, which was a little bit lower, but there was also no decline at all. So I don't really see there being a lot of emphasis dedicated towards prevention of PID.
I think we can hold the question towards the end of the session, but thank you so much.
All right.